Thailand goes to the polls on the 8th of February in a snap general election. Last year, Thailand was mainly in the international spotlight on account of the military conflict with neighbouring Cambodia and some political ramifications that flared up out of that on several occasions. Thailand and Cambodia is actually one of those eight wars that President Trump says he's ended, although he did have to say that after conflict in July, and then he had to say it again when conflict flared up in December. Joining us now to take on one more time the not easy task of comprehending Thai electoral machinations is Dr. Aim Sinpeng, Senior Lecturer in Comparative Politics and International Relations at the University of Sydney. Dr. Sinpeng, welcome back to Sunday Extra.
Thanks for having me.
We last spoke, I think, in August of 2023, which was a few months after the last general election, and by then still no government had been formed. Since then, I think Thailand's had three different prime ministers. Could you talk us through that very quick succession and what's driven it?
It's because Thailand top politics is really divided between, you know, the much more progressive, more left-wing sort of new generation politics that wanted to move forward, but also wanted to reform the monarchy, which has been the most important institution in Thailand for a long time, versus the other Thailand that is wanting the status quo because of so much insecurity, particularly in the economic arena, and as you mentioned, the security arena. So since then, we know that Thailand would likely, any election would likely result in a coalition government. And usually that means that different parties are at play. And so the tumultuous politics and the changing in prime minister reflects the changing of coalition partners and who gets to lead the country.
So who's the prime minister currently, and why did they call an election a bit early? Because I understand the parliamentary terms are normally 4 years, so there shouldn't have been an election this early. Why has that come about?
Well, last election, interestingly, that you said the last election actually produced a clear winner. But and people were really happy about it, but that party didn't get to govern. And since then, there'd been, you know, a series of prime ministers, with the current one being Anutan Chanrerakul, who didn't win the election, didn't expect to lead the country, but was there anyway. And when he came in, he said, look, I'm just here until the next election. I'm just here to provide some stability. And that's why the election was called early, because he had said that he would be here just temporarily.
You mentioned a part of Thai politics which wants to move forward, and that indeed was the name of the party that won the most seats in the last election. It's just the latest incarnation of the progressive movement, because the Constitutional Court seems to keep dissolving that party and disqualifying its leaders. So could you just explain to us what's happened to move forward the party since 2023?
The party is dissolved by the Constitutional Court, because the party and its previous names have kind of form as a result of a backlash against the political system in Thailand, which rests on a monarchy. So in some way, there is a part of that movement that wants to completely abolish the monarchy, but there's the bigger part of that movement that wants to reform the monarchy. The rest of the Thailand, however, doesn't want the monarchy to be touched. And so the court being the court and a few other really much more conservative traditional political elite said, well, we can't have this kind of party in Thailand. We can't have a party that is basically wanting to destroy Thailand, as we know, which is reforming the monarchy. So it was dissolved for that reason. And interestingly, this election, the same party under a new name, has now dropped the whole Les Majesty, which is to, you know, to try to reform the monarchy, because it really wants to govern. Because if it wins again and it's trying to push for reforming the monarchy again, it's probably not going to get to govern.
Yes, that is really interesting. So the name of Move Forward, or now the representative of the progressive movement, is the People's Party. How are they faring in polling? What do you think their chances are of, again, getting the most number of seats? And I suppose after, given what happened last time, even if they do that, what are the chances that they actually could end up leading a government?
you know, they're polling extremely well. But if you listen to any major political commentators in Thailand across the political divides, it's really unclear that they would actually get to govern, which is really interesting because they're actually polling quite well. Last time, they didn't poll that well. All the polls said they weren't going to win, except for their own internal poll. And they did win. So now we're like, you know, like any election, like how much we trust polls. But I do think that by dropping Les Majesty and dropping this idea that they really want to touch the monarchy, they are allowing themselves to open up for more possibility of partners in the coalition, because that was their biggest problem, was that even with another party, Pheu Thai, right, which is very similar to them, they couldn't bring themselves to partner with Move Forward last time because of this issue. So let's see if by dropping this, right, and having fairly similar policy as last time, let's see if they would be a much more attractive coalition partner, because it's likely it's going to be a coalition government again.
I mentioned earlier the conflict between Thailand and Cambodia. Could you give us some background on Thai-Cambodian relations and how those recent flare-ups played into national politics?
You know, you asked me earlier about why the election was called early. Phum Chai Thai, the main party that the current prime minister is from, they're a regional party that are basically provinces along Thai-Cambodian border. And one of the reasons why it's good timing for them to call an election was because they're riding the wave of nationalist sentiment in the country regarding the border. So Thailand and Cambodia, like lots of countries around the world, have had sort of issues with, you know, territorial disputes ongoing, you know, from colonial times, right? The maps kind of look different. The measurements are not accurate. So, you know, is this temple on your side or my side kind of story? And it doesn't flare up all the time. In fact, it doesn't flare up all that much until normally there are some kind of domestic political issues where using the territorial dispute becomes an advantage for whoever's in power or the opposition, right? Depending on the circumstances. So in this time, there's political instability in Thailand, right? And Thailand's kind of going towards trying to crack down the issue of scamming, which really affects some certain political and economic centers in both Thailand and Cambodia, but particularly Cambodia. And that doesn't sit well with the Cambodian political leadership. And Cambodia, for what it's worth, is much more politically secure than Thailand. It has the same leadership for a very long time. So way more stable, actually, than Thailand has had, as you said, so many prime ministers, so many elections, coups, and what have you. And Cambodia sees that, you know, whatever instability is going on in Thailand, they could use this as their own advantage as well, right, to further legitimize the current political leadership. So that kind of went on, and that opened up the possibility for some political parties in Thailand, like you mentioned, the current prime minister's party, to see an opportunity to basically rally up support for themselves. And then a snap election is called. And as one of the reasons why the party is more popular now than it was, actually because of the rise in nationalist sentiment with regards to the border clashes between Cambodia.
That's really interesting. So the vote is on the 8th of February. I understand, as well as a general election, there's also a referendum on the question, do you agree that there should be a new constitution? What's the background to that, and how's the polling looking on the referendum front?
Yeah, you know, lots of people have said, we need a new constitution, right? Because basically the current constitution was a coup constitution that pretty much the military wrote. So it was not a people's version constitution. And every time you think you were trying to rely on certain political parties to push that forward, and they're just way too much political back and forth, that it's never going to happen. So the referendum is putting the power back in the people's hand to see if that's going to go forward. And, you know, people who support parties that are more progressive or wanting to move forward are much more likely to vote yes. And then the much more conservative sort of status quo, people are likely to vote no. So I think that there should be pretty close relationship between the yes vote for the referendum, the new constitution, and certain political parties winning the ballot.
Does the military still control the political system through its mandatory allocation of seats in the Senate?
The military is huge in Thailand, and not just for the senatorial seats. It's pretty much in the political psyche, right? You don't want to make them mad in some ways. And every party that's come in power try to dance around it. And any party that tries to reform it, for example, the Move Forward Party and actually the current People's Party, something bad happens to them. So the People's Party actually haven't backed down on their wish to reform the military. They have backed down on the wish to reform the monarchy. And so if they win, we will really see the military kind of stepping up to trying to regain some of their power again. The military, it needs to be washed. And in fact, the Thai-Cambodian border conflict is really good for the military because nationalism, patriotism, you know, that's what they do. They're actually trending on TikTok and stuff like that, which never did. You know,
yeah.
Like no one like
didn't
wants
know the Thai military
it.
was big on TikTok. That's
like
fascinating.
TikTok, yeah, and Instagram, like you know, even like they used to be really bad at this stuff because they like would use slogans that like my grandparents grew up with.
And well, they've obviously sharpened up their act. Dr. Aim Sin Peng, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Aim Sin Peng, Senior Lecturer in Comparative Politics and International Relations at the University of Sydney, was our guest, and we'll have to watch the election and no doubt what happens in the Constitutional Court a few months after that as well. It's 47 minutes past seven.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.